Well, welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm joined by Jeff Hamlin, and we are joined by John Kilgo. John, are you there?
I'm right here, D.G.
Can't hear him. John?
I'm here.
Good. You're there, and John is well known in Chapel Hill. He's the co-author with Dean Smith of A Coach's Life, and worked with Coach Smith for, gosh, John, how many decades? All of your life, I guess.
About 30 years, yeah.
And also was the first sports information director at Davidson College. He's also a great friend of Lefty Drizzell, and he's persuaded Coach Lefty Drizzell, former coach at Davidson, at Maryland, and at James Madison and Georgia State to join us to talk about the NCAA tournament in progress. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you, D.G., but it wasn't Kilgo, it was you.
Well, I use Kilgo's name. I use Kilgo's name, and I got to give him credit, Coach.
You know, okay, there you go.
It's, I may need something from him, and I owe him a lot. Listen, guys, we've entered the Lions Den here in Chapel Hill, and, John, you and I have got mixed affections for Carolina and for Davidson. We've sort of traded places. I'm in Chapel Hill. You're living in Davidson now. I don't think Coach Drizzell's got any divided loyalties, though, does he?
No. I mean, Lefty, he got so fired up about this Davidson team that every time I turned around, he was talking about Steph Curry, about the job McKillop did, and the run that Davidson made in this room. I think Lefty was as big a fan as the school had during this entire run to this great finish that they had.
Well, I was fired up. I tell you, at the Georgetown game, when that thing was over, tears were coming out of my eyes. I was so happy. I mean, I was just so proud of Davidson and Coach McKillop. I'm going to tell you what, they were the best defensive team in the Western Regional, maybe in the whole tournament. You know, and Curry is just sensational. He'd be my number one pick if I was picking a team out of all the college players in the country. I mean, that kid's unbelievable.
Well, John Kilgo, you're doing the sports broadcasting or the basketball broadcasting for Davidson, and so you got to see, I guess, every game.
Yeah, I did. I saw them all. And Davidson was just, they routed everybody. They didn't have, but of the 23 games they played in the Southern Conference, against Southern Conference teams, they didn't have but four games that were single-digit games, and a lot of them were 20 to 30-point victories. So they were clearly better than everybody in the Southern Conference. But the most crucial games that they played were against Carolina. They lost by four. Against Duke, they lost by six. And UCLA, they lost by 12, but it wasn't a 12-point game, and Davidson was ahead by 18. But Bob McKillop took that as they got into the NCAA tournament and said, you know, we've already done all this. We've played against Hansborough. We've played against pressure defenses. We've done all these things. It's not new to you. Go play it again. And I think you know, Lefty, if you toughen them up with that kind of schedule and they play well against it, that really helps the players down the line.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I thought their defense was great. The way they doubled down on the postmen didn't hurt them. I mean, Hibbert, who was first-team All-American, 7'2", didn't score a point. I mean, they did a great job defensively. I mean, they were physical. They played hard. They played with intensity. They played together, and you know, offensively, they handled the ball. They didn't have very few turnovers, and Bobby had them right where he wanted them. I thought he did a great job, and I tell you the truth, Georgetown and all those teams were choking against them. That's why I thought they were going to beat Kansas, because I said Kansas going to choke in the end, and they did kind of choke. And you know, we missed a couple shots at the end. If they'd have dropped, we'd be in the Final Four.
Well, it'd be amazing. The people here in Chapel Hill have got mixed feelings. Some of them said they'd rather play Kansas than Davidson, and so they didn't want to pull against Davidson, but they didn't want to play them. Others really were the Carolina people were really all behind Davidson. I didn't see anybody who wasn't pulling for him. Jeff Hamlin, my co-host here, is also. He's got divided loyalties among conferences. He's a Southern Conference guy from Appalachian, and so he knows what it feels like for the little teams to beat the big teams.
It is, and there's always it brings the university very close together, because when you're a smaller school in North Carolina and not necessarily among the members of the Big Four, it is something very special. So Lefty and DG, I'll go, and I'll ask all three of you this. Is this even more special considering that Davidson is such a small school and may not garner the attention that a North Carolina or a Duke or an NC State may receive?
Well, they may be a small school, but they got the same number of scholarships,
absolutely,
just as good as uniforms, you know, just as good as Nike shoes, maybe better, I don't know. Michael Jordan probably gets them a little extra at North Carolina. But North Carolina's a great team. I'm going to tell you, they're super. And, you know, I don't know who Roy wanted to play, but he didn't have to worry about that. Now he got to go out there and beat Kansas, and I think he can do it. I'm pulling for North Carolina because I always pull for the ACC teams, and I think he's got a great shot at it. And I'll be pulling for them, but I'll be honest with you, I was pulling for Davidson.
Okay. John, you're in Davidson now, and almost every sports report I read said Little Davidson with 1,700 people. And somebody asked me about that. I said, that's not little. That's too big. When Coach Drizel and I, we were somewhere between 800 and 1,000, I think. And
yeah, we were 900.
And we thought those conservative of us thought we were getting, you know, we were getting too big. But, John, what's the feeling there? Is being little a handicap?
No, I mean – Lefty is absolutely right. I've been saying the same thing. I don't. If it were the old days before scholarships, and they put a bulletin up, I mean, put a note on the bulletin board in the gym, we're having basketball tryouts tomorrow. Everybody wants to come out. Come on out and try out. Well, 20,000 would be an advantage over 1,700. But if you've got 13 scholarships and the big school's got 13 scholarships, I don't see where size enters into it. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Riding around Davidson this weekend after I got back from Detroit, it was like Christmas. I mean, in place of Christmas decorations, there were sheets hanging out windows, go cat. There were red flags flying. There were all kind of Davidson decorations that this little old community of about 8,000 people just got behind Davidson basketball team. It won the hearts of people that are not even basketball fans. And I said this on the radio the other day, and I know Lefty would agree. Because in academia, DG, as you know, there's always a debate about whether intercollegiate athletics are worth the effort. Well, you could have gone to New York and given the number one advertising agency in New York City a check for $300 million and said, create as much goodwill for Davidson College as you can, and they could not have done what that basketball team did for Davidson over the span of 2 weeks.
That's right. I mean, they were super. I mean, everybody was, all my friends here, you know, everywhere I've been, Davidson, they said, Davidson. I said, yeah, I used to coach there a long time ago. So I'm bragging about it. I'm riding on a coach day.
Well, me too, Coach. This is, now, I've always held on to your coattails. And I'll tell you the story. I told this to Jeff Hamlin once. When I got an offer to come work for the university when Dick Spangler was president of the university system, I sent in my resume and he had already offered me the job, but he said, I need to pass your resume around, DG, just, you know, to get people on board. And so I faxed him my resume, and he called me back, and he said, well, DG, the good news is I still want you to come. The bad news, though, is, he said, I'm having second thoughts about somebody who was looking for a job at the University of North Carolina, and the first thing on the resume is that you were captain of Lefty Drizel's basketball team.
You made a mistake there.
So,
yeah, but I think, look, let me tell you something. When we were at Davidson, DG, you and I, most of the fans had filled up the Charlotte Coliseum, and we led the country in attendance with North Carolina graduates. Except when we played North Carolina, right? I mean, the North Carolina people supported us, and we were very grateful for that.
Well, John Kilgo, you followed both schools. You're a close friend of Lefty's and Coach, and also a great friend of Coach Smith's. And you've written Coach Smith. You've helped Coach Smith write his book, and we're looking for you to help Coach Drizel write his book.
We're going to do that, right, Johnny?
And I'm going to get that done. But
I don't know if we can tell everything, though.
I want to tell you something. This is why I want to do this, because what Lefty, you know this because you were a part of it, and there's still an award that Davidson will have his basketball banquet on May the 1st, and the player that shows the most leadership and making winning plays gets the D.G. Martin Award. It's still named after D.G.
Right.
But the thing about
John, there was only one thing you could say for me, and that was hustle, because Coach couldn't find any other attribute that was worth celebrating.
What Lefty did, I was looking at the book. Before the 11 seasons before Lefty got here, Davidson had 11 straight losing seasons, and they won 83 games and lost 184 over those 11 seasons. And he comes in here and puts the team in the top 10, beats Duke when they're number one, fills up the Charlotte Coliseum, beats Ohio State and breaks a winning streak to 56 or 66 or something games at Columbus, has a team ranked third in the nation in the final poll of the year. That is one of the great, and Dean Smith is the one that said this to me first, one of the greatest stories ever in college basketball is what Lefty did at Davidson, because, as he put it, I don't think any other coach that I've ever met could have done what Lefty did except Lefty. And this is a special, this brought back memories to me this year of what Lefty had here. And that's why it was so emotional to me, because it was like Lefty's times were coming back.
Well, it's, you know, John, I've been impressed both with Coach Drizel and Coach McKillop. I heard, you know, sometimes you get a little rivalry about this, but Coach McKillop and everything he says is that it's built on the tradition that Coach Drizel started. And Coach Drizel says, Coach McKillop's a great coach. You know, I've never seen anything like what he does. And but it is true that McKillop's built on that tradition and on the miracle that Coach Drizel created at Davidson.
Well, they still call it the glory days. That's the official name of Lefty's tenure at Davidson, the glory days, and Bob McKillop is the one that uses the term. So, I mean, it's no jealousy whatsoever. This was the 100th year anniversary of Davidson basketball, and they asked me to write a piece about it, and I did some research, and I said, you know, it's simple. Everybody that played basketball at Davidson contributed, but the two sparkling eras were Lefty Drizel and Bob McKillop. And that's not to denigrate anybody or anything that anybody did, but those were the two just absolutely sparkling eras that Davidson basketball has had, and two great coaches, in Lefty Drizel and Bob McKillop.
And I think Bobby may have a dynasty going there, because a lot of kids are going to want to come to Davidson. I had Ben Coleman, who was an all-ACC player for me at Maryland, called me the other day. This was before the tournament, and before the, you know, regionals, and he said, Davidson's recruiting my son. He's a real good student, and he averaged, I don't know what it was, 21 points a game, and you think he should go to Davidson? I said, absolutely. And I don't think if Davidson hadn't had this great team this year that, you know, that he would probably be going there. And he might, I don't know if he's good enough to play there, because a lot of times when somebody calls you about somebody, not that good.
You know,
But I think this is really going to help Bobby's recruiting.
It's interesting regarding Davidson, because they have very, very difficult academic standards, and both of you can talk about this. How difficult is that to overcome against schools that may not have as stringent of standards?
See, I think it's an advantage, because if you're a real good student, then you want to go to a school like Davidson. You may pick Davidson over a state school. You know, I'm not downgrading North Carolina, but, you know, a lot of the youngsters that I got at Davidson when I was coaching were interested in Ivy League schools. You know, Fred Hetzel's mother wanted him to go to an Ivy League school. I mean, that's where he was. He went to Landon Prep School, and which about 99% of the students went to Ivy League schools. I said, look, Mrs. Hetzel, he can come to Davidson. We're just like an Ivy League school, and I can give him a scholarship. You're going to have to pay for him to go to Harvard or Yale. So, you know, Wayne Huckle was between us and Dartmouth. So a lot of the, you know, I think when you've got a great academic school, you go after the great students, and you have an advantage over a state school. And, you know, I mean, Davidson, when I was there, had more Rhodes Scholars than any school in the South.
And Coach, the folks in Chapel Hill are getting impatient with us talking too much about Davidson. We're going to talk about the Heels after we take a break.
What we're going to do here, DG, I'm going to give John and Coach Drizel here a call back, because we're going to have lengthy coverage of the team going on to the bus. I won't want them on hold for about 10 minutes here. So why don't I give them a call back here, and then we're going to go to our own Jason Kahn after a brief commercial.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Tell Roy Williams I said good luck, get another one.
We'll do that, Coach. And Coach Drizzell and John Kilgo, Jeff Hamlin, and I'll be back after a short announcement and some coverage of the Tar Heels leaving for the NCAA Finals. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. My guests are Coach Lefty Drizzell, former coach at Davidson and at Maryland at James Madison, Georgia State. Our friend John Kilgo, longtime friend of Coach Dean Smith, co-author with him of Coach Smith's wonderful book, A Coach's Life, and now the a longtime sports information director at Davidson, worked with Lefty Drizzell, and now the broadcasting the Davidson games. We've been talking, John and Lefty, about Davidson. Let's talk, you know, we are in Chapel Hill. John, what do you think about what are the Heels' chances?
Well, I think they're four left. They had two games, and so I think their chances are excellent because they're a tremendous team. They seem to be playing their best basketball, especially defensively, that they played this year. But I'll give you this warning. Lefty touched on it earlier. Kansas felt enormous pressure playing against Davidson. Bill Self had never been to a Final Four. Davidson was the 10th seed, and I think Kansas was tight. Now, Davidson made them play an ugly game. You give Davidson credit. But Kansas is a very good basketball team, and although some people might not think they're as good as they really are from watching them last Sunday, they're really good, and Carolina's going to have to play an excellent game to win, and I think you're going to see something. Lefty knows a lot more about this than I do, but I think you're going to see something 85-83 kind of game when those two teams play on Saturday.
I think it's going to be a great game, but I love North Carolina. You know, Red Auerbach told me a long time ago, he said, to build a team, number one, you got to have a good center. You got to have a big-time center. Well, North Carolina's got that. And then you got to have a great point guard. And Lawson, I think, is great. I'd love to see him play with Curry. I wish we could take Curry down there and let him play with him. But, you know, they got a great point guard. And Red always said, we have to fill in with those forwards, you know, and a little rebounding. But they've got some great front court players and another great guard. So, you know, I'm telling you, North Carolina's got everything it takes to win. But Johnny knows this, and everybody, you know it too, D. Anybody can beat anybody on a given night. But I like them, and I think that the Kansas game is going to really be a super game because both teams like to run. Both teams are athletic, but I think North Carolina will beat them.
Guys, I'm going to put you on hold real quick here because we're going to go to our Jason Kahn, and Jason is apparently ready to watch the Carolina team march on board the bus. Right, Jason?
Yeah, they're coming out as we speak. It seems like the problem before was that they had to move the bus, but if you can hear behind us, everybody is loud. They are screaming. They're proud, and everybody on the Tar Heel roster is in their suits getting ready to board the bus. We have Marcus Ginyard. We have Tyler Hansbrough coming out. They all have their video cameras out because it's such a special moment for them. Deion Thompson, they're all boarding the bus right now as we speak. We have the coaches, Roy Williams. We have, I think, Steve Holiday.
That's right. Joe Holiday, that's right.
Joe Holiday, my bad. Sorry,
Steve Robinson is there, too, yeah.
I'm trying to catch up in the mall. Can you hear them behind us?
Yes, can.
It's pretty loud right now. Now, I'm going to try to get comments from people afterwards to see what they think, but it's a really quick event right now. We have Coach Williams coming down the aisle, getting ready to board the bus right after the team. Everybody's just cheering them on, Jeff.
All right. Well, thanks, Jason. We appreciate it.
No problem.
That is Jason Kahn joining us here on WCHL. And go back to our regularly scheduled edition of Who's Talking. Coach Drizzell, you mentioned Coach Auerbach. Is it true that you were among a select group of people that got to join him every morning at a Chinese restaurant in Maryland? Is that true?
Well, no, I didn't know. It was every Wednesday or
every
Thursday.
Wednesday.
John Feinstein went every time.
Okay.
And, I mean, I was invited because Red and I were good friends, but I didn't go, you know, all the time because I live 4 hours away. But I went a bunch, and I was invited to go, and, you know, it was super. Red, the first time I went, I said, well, Red, let me, you know, with Chinese restaurant. Red, he loved Chinese food, and he'd order a little bit of this and a little bit of that for everybody. And I said, let me pay for mine. He said, no, the Celtics are paying for this. So the Celtics paid for all these years for his weekly lunch at the Chinese, at the Golden, I forget what name of the Golden Bowl,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
In Chinatown up there in D.C.
That's like lefty getting a free lunch to me.
I know.
Coach would never turn down a free lunch. John, this is a story for your book on Lefty, but my senior year when we started out with Coach, we lost, I think, six straight games, and Coach threw up his hands and said, I'm building for next year, and kicked everybody off the team except enough, maybe 8 players, and he, but he had a little bit of hope, and he said, all right, now, guys, if y'all will win, I'll buy y'all a steak dinner after every game you win. And so we started winning. We got about 10 or 11 games. I think we won 11 games, and Coach was going into what little recruiting budget he had to buy our steak dinners, and he said, guys, he said, I know I told y'all I would buy y'all a steak dinner after every game that you won, but I'm out of money, and we lost the next game.
No, but they, when we lost, we ate hot dogs. We were getting ready to go to the Southern Conference tournament. We didn't have enough money to pay the bus or something, so I said, look, even though you won the last game, we can only feed you hot dogs.
It's great. I'm interested, Coach, in this game that's coming up between North Carolina and Kansas, and put your coach's hat back on. I know that you're pulling for North Carolina, but nevertheless, if you were the Kansas coach and trying to figure out a way to beat North Carolina, what would be some of the ingredients that you would throw at Carolina if you were coaching Kansas?
Gee, that's a good one. I don't know. Number one, I think I'd double down like Bobby McKillop did on a big man on Hansburg, because you can't let him get going. But I tell you, double-team him, and he got that power to go over top of you. And some kind of way, you got to stop the three-point shooting. See, I think I've told Johnny this. I'm not a big proponent of three-point shooting, because some nights they drop, some nights they don't. And you can't let North Carolina hit a bunch of threes, and you can't let Hansburg going, and you can't let Lawson take the ball and go coast to coast, or, you know, hurt you with his passing. But you can't do this, you can't do that, but they're going to be tough to beat. I think it's going to be, like you said, or Johnny said, it's going to be an 80-90-point game, I believe, which is, you know, a joy to watch. But I think North Carolina will beat them. I don't know that, to tell you the truth, I haven't seen Kansas play but 2 or 3 times TV, so I don't really know that much about them. I know a lot about North Carolina because I have watched them a lot.
I guess that the thing that I would think a coach like you would be looking at is there, you know, Hansburg is such a strong player, a dominating player, but no player is perfect. And what you always did for us was to try to find the weakness where you could exploit that weakness and maybe get the player off his game by shutting him down in some particular way. He'd take a step. He had to drop the ball to shoot or something like that. You don't see that anywhere in Tyler Hansburg.
Well, you know what? If I was guarding him myself, I wouldn't try to block him out by doing a reverse pivot or a front pivot. I'd face him. I'd just face him and keep him off the board. I said, when his shot goes up, don't worry about pivoting and getting him on your back. Get him in your front, and don't let him get an offensive rebound, because the guy's a great offensive rebound. Even when he shoots and misses, you got to keep him off the boards, because he's so tough inside. And, you know, he doesn't have a textbook jump shot or textbook jump hook. Everything he does is just power and just hustle. And the other thing, I was watching TV a little while ago about pardon my interruption, and somebody said on there that he gets pedicures and manicures. and Roy came on and said, now that's taking a little bit too far, but I got news for you, Roy. I get a pedicure and a manicure all the time because I love them. As a matter of fact, I used to get them for my team at Maryland because, you know, a basketball player is only good at his feet. And Hansburg is smart because you can build up those big – I've seen some of my players that calluses on that 2 or 3 inches thick. So I used to get them for my team. I just told them don't shave them too low because they'll get a blister. But, you know, Hansburg's a smart guy, and he's tough to stop. He'll find a way to get the job done, I think.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to remind Coach about his assignment. He gave me special instructions about how to guard Art Haman, and I'll tell you what those were. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with John Kilgo, with Coach Lefty Driesell. Jeff Hamlin and I are talking to them, having a great time. Stay with us. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Jeff Hamlin and I are visiting with John Kilgo and Coach Lefty Driesell. We're talking about the upcoming NCAA finals or semifinals and the game between Carolina and Kansas. I asked Coach Driesell to tell me how he would, if he were coaching at Kansas, what he would do to try to get Tyler Hansbrough off his game. And, Coach, you were stuttering. You didn't have anything to tell me. But it brought back a memory of me. For me, you probably don't remember this, but my senior year, we were coming over from Davidson. This was before Christmas. We were coming over to play Duke, and it was a time when Art Haman was the dominating player. Well, I wasn't playing very much basketball, but you had decided that I was about all you had to throw at Art Haman, and you had me all psyched up, and you gave me all these things to do to him to get him off his game, and you said you got to hold him to 10 points. And then on the bus going over, you started reading the scouting report that Bill Shinn, you know, a ball player at Davidson who was in law school at Duke then, had given you on it, and you were just reading it out word for word, and you got to the point of what Bill said about Haman, and Bill said, you just got to give Haman his 30 points. He said, don't even try to hold him on that. Concentrate on other things, and he gave some suggestions. And before you realized what you'd done, you'd read it. And then you looked over at me and said, did you? Don't pay any attention to that. Don't pay any attention to that. You're going to hold him.
Well, how many did he get?
I fouled out with at 2 minutes into the second half and held him to 32 points.
Oh, okay.
And then,
well, Shinn was right and I was wrong.
I was battered and bruised, but so was he. I beat him up worse than he beat me up. But couldn't hold him to any points. But it is interesting, John, you've watched this, and you must have watched this, watching Carolina and interviewing Coach Smith on the television show about what you do with individual players and how some coaches have this ability to sort of figure out a way to get a really star player off his game.
Yeah, and it's not easy because usually the good teams, as Lefty knows, have options off everything. If you stop one thing, they have an option to go to something else. And you know, when Coach Smith, and I bet you Lefty did a lot of this at Maryland. Coach watched a lot of tape himself. He had a bunch of this in his mind, but he didn't give that information in great volume to the Carolina players. He wanted to know it, but he didn't want to burden them. And his thought was that, you know, we do what we're supposed to do, make them react to us and make them play the way we want to play instead of, worrying so much. I heard a guy up at when Carolina was playing in the Alaska Shootout in 1985, Carolina beat Purdue in the semifinals. They were going to play Jerry Tarkanian's Las Vegas team for the championship, and the assistant coach from Purdue was talking to the assistant coach of Las Vegas, and they were trying to figure out when Carolina trapped. And the Purdue guy said, well, sometimes they trapped on the first pass, and then sometimes they trapped on the first dribble, and then sometimes they trapped on it, went down the left side of the court. He says, we just gave up trying to figure it out. And after the game, Gene Cady, the coach at Purdue, said, our problem was we spent all of our time preparing for the things that Carolina throws at you instead of doing our own stuff. So sometimes, you know, you've got – this is so late in the season, isn't it, Lefty? You go with what got you to the dance. You don't start changing a bunch of stuff now.
Yeah, that's true. You shouldn't. Unless you're really the, you know, big underdog, which neither one of the teams in the Final Four are, then you might have to do something different. And most you should do something that you had worked on some during the year.
Right.
You know, you can't just pull that and start switching if you haven't been switching, or not switch if you've been switching.
Coach, not everybody knows this, but I know this, and I know that in your heart of hearts, you know, you played basketball at Duke, and deep down inside, you got a soft spot in your heart for Duke and that team. What happened to him this year?
What happened to Duke?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I mean, they had a great year. What did he win, 28 games?
Yeah.
You know, and they only lost about three or four. And I just think that they depended too much on a three-point shot. And they didn't really have a force inside. And at the end, he started playing, I forget the kid's name, the big kid. What's his name?
Zubac?
Yeah, Zubac, or whatever his name is. Anyway, he started trying to play him, but see, he hadn't played him much until that point, and I think that hurt the overall flow of the team. But they just weren't big enough to compete against teams that had big inside players, like Clemson beat them. And I think Clemson beat them because Clemson had some good inside players.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what hurt them. But they were, you know, Mike always gets a lot out of those kids, and I thought he did a great coaching job with what he had.
Coach Giselle, you beat Duke for your ACC tournament title, but is it true? I heard John Feinstein say this one time. Is it true that when you were asked what you would do if you won an ACC tournament title, you said, "I put that trophy on the hood of my car and drive around North Carolina with it"?
Well, but that wasn't after that game. It was, you know, we lost to NC State in that tournament, but, you know, yeah, the greatest game they say he's ever played, 103-101. North Carolina beat us 1 year by 1 point. We lost five finals in the AC. We've been to the finals more when I quit than anybody except North Carolina, but we only won one. So we had lost about four in real close games, and so one of those games when we lost, I said, if I ever win this thing, I'm going to put that trophy on my Cadillac and drive around North Carolina for a week. But, you know, we had to play it down there in North Carolina all the time, and,
yeah,
you know, that was my big excuse. But I just said that after we lost about in the finals about four times, but I never did do it, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of wanted to do it.
Jeff's telling me we got to take a quick break. If Coach Drizel and John Kilgore will stay with us, we'll all be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Jeff Hamlin and I are talking to John Kilgo and Coach Lefty Drizel. We just got a minute or two. John, you probably know the answer to this question, but I don't. And Coach Drizel, are you planning to go to the NCAA Finals?
Yes, I am. I don't know about Johnny. Are you going, Johnny?
I'll know tomorrow.
Coach, what's it like for, you know, a retired coach? I put this in quotes, all the coaches get together and they have a reunion, or do you get the best seats? What's it like?
Yeah, we have a retired coaches meeting. I think it's Saturday morning. I usually go to it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm too young to go. But, we do, and so it's fun. And, you know, this year I'm going, getting honored for that College Hall of Fame thing, so they're paying my way and my wife's way, so we're really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, John Kilgo, there was some excitement at Davidson when Lefty was named to the Hall of Fame, wasn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it was you know, Davidson had its 100th year anniversary of this year, and Lefty was the premier attraction of the whole weekend, and in fact, he made the weekend. So, yeah, anytime Lefty does something, his roots in Davidson, he knows that they're so deep that everybody here rejoices in his success.
Yeah, I love Davidson. And in fact, Ann Holland made me a little table with some clippings on it, you know. And it really was neat. And when I moved, I kind of lost track of it. And about 2 months ago, I asked my daughter, I said, "You got my Davidson table?" She said, "Yeah, it's up in my attic." So I went up there and got it. It was kind of all messed up. A couple of the legs were broken, and I took it up here and got it fixed. And I just got it back about two or three days ago. So I got it fixed right at the appropriate time.
Coach, one more thing before we go. You've still got a connection at Maryland. And tell us about that.
Well, my son's assistant coach there, you know. And so, naturally, you know, I'm trying to help him and – I went to see a couple of high school kids play yesterday for him, and you know, I think he's going to be a great coach. Just needs to get a break and go so get a head coaching job somewhere. And you know, he was my assistant for my associate head coach or whatever you call him. I let him do most of the coaching. In fact, my last year at Georgia State, when we were 29-5 and beat Wisconsin in the NCAAs in the first round, I ran his offense. So, you know, he's going to be a good coach, and he's just paying his dues, and hopefully one of these days he'll get a break.
Well, what a great family tradition. John Kilgo, a great tradition for you here in Chapel Hill and in Davidson, and Coach Drizel, with thanks for sharing some stories with us. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
Anytime. It's our pleasure.
Thanks, Jeff Hamlin, for helping. Goodbye to John Kilgo and Lefty Drizel. Thanks to all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.